Nehemiah chapter 6 verses 15 to 16. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. Greetings and blessings upon you in the name of the Most High God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord of hosts, God of everything, we give you thanks. Thank you for this day and thank you for showing us the way. Lord, we place this broadcast into your hands right now and ask that you have your say. Thank you for the faithful sponsors, listeners, new and faithful. And most definitely for your word, the Holy Spirit, and your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lives within us now and forevermore. Amen. Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Because He Lives radio broadcast program, hosted by the members of the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District, which is brought to you with the kind compliments of our faithful sponsors, Federal Motor Spirits and Life 97.5 FM. Welcome. From today and for the rest of the month of July, you will be ministered to by the youth of our church, and the theme which we will be focusing on is that of rebuild, retool, and reposition. So today, it is an honor and a privilege for me, Daniel Jordan, to present to you on the topic of rebuild. So today we'll be looking at rebuilding in the time of Nehemiah, as was previously read, and then see how that experience may be applicable in this time. So to start, I'd like to give some context to this great experience. The prophet Jeremiah was called by God in BC 626 to tell the Jews in Jerusalem and surrounding areas that God was going to punish them if they did not repent and come back to Him. 40 years from then, the Jews still did not repent, despite the constant pleading and weeping of Jeremiah. Therefore, the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 14 to 16 was delivered and subsequently fulfilled. The Lord said to me, "From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the people of the northern kingdom," declared the Lord. "Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgment on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshipping what their hands have made." And so said, so done. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army and laid siege to it. And it took Jerusalem approximately 140 years to fortify this city again. So, given that quick background, we see the problem and the consequence of the problem. And just indulge me here for a second. When things nice, we get comfortable. Our hands become idle and find ourselves doing strange things. Doing things we were not called to be doing or even created to do. And you know what? When we don't stop to take stock of our lives or stop to take that Sabbath rest and look and see if the things we did over the week were up to scratch, we can easily find ourselves in the loop of autopilot living, moment living, or reaction living, rather than living intentionally and on purpose in our purposes and according to what we were called to do. And we can see these examples several times a day. Several times. And even though I can speak about the devil here, we also have to realize the effects of the flesh and its will to want the sweet, the easy, and the workless life. I stand corrected. But when the Israelites were moving through the desert to the promised land, I can't remember any mention of the devil. Yet they still ended up doing many evil and egregious things. And listen, it is my belief that we get several wake-up calls along the way, but we do not heed them, but instead try to keep the status quo and toe the line, keep things nice. Yet we see things come crashing down suddenly, quote unquote. Hence, if the thing was viable, then a rebuild is necessary. Think about it, gentlemen. Think about when you're driving your 100 or your B13. You drive it hard and say, boy, this car could take a beating and it's still working. This thing broke or damaged, but the car is still driving, so we ignore it because it wasn't critical, right? So for example, you know that your tires are well worn. They needed changing 2 years ago, but you still decided to go on Bathsheba. Now the rain catch you down there, and you're trying to get up the hills, but the tires balling on the burst. And now you can't get home, and you don't have a spare, cause that burst months ago. Hence, my earlier point of seeing and having a problem, and the consequence of not dealing with it. Thank you for indulging me. Now let's get back to the Nehemiah experience, and let's see if we can pull some points from it. I must say, this now is one of my favorite books of the Bible because it teaches about vision, leadership, and management, which all come from our Creator, our Daddy, our God. So, point one, there was a problem. Nehemiah was informed of a problem, and he was very distressed by it. So distressed that the Bible said that he mourned for several days. He mourned for several days. This problem more or less consumed Nehemiah, right? When he woke up, he thought about it. When he went to sleep, he thought about it. So this problem was deep. It caused great distress in Nehemiah. But it didn't stop there. The scripture then goes on to say, but also he fasted and prayed before God of heaven. Right? Sometimes when we read the scriptures, sometimes you know we end up stopping short. But this one said he mourned for several days, but also fasted and prayed before God of heaven. Now, when I look at this, I think in essence, Nehemiah spoke the word of God back to God, which was basically what God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29 verses 11 to 14. And you can repeat it with me because this is a familiar verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. Whoa. So, knowing this prophecy that was delivered, Nehemiah had mourned, but he only stayed there for several days. It didn't say he stayed there for a year, 5 years, or 10 years, right? He stayed there for several days, but then he fasted and he prayed before God of heaven. And this is so critical to the walk that we walk as believers. Even before God would have said what was going to happen to Jerusalem and the Jews, he also did say that when we search for him and seek him with all of our hearts, he will be found. And I'm not sure if this is part of the reason why Nehemiah got up from his mourning quickly, but I believe it had a lot to do with it, because he knew that the Jews were God's chosen people, and that once they turn from their wicked ways, that God will reestablish them. Yeah? So on to point two. He felt the need to do something about it, and indeed he did. Now I want you to watch here that Nehemiah did not just pick up himself and go to Jerusalem. No, he didn't. He asked for permission. He asked the king, Artaxerxes for permission. But you know what he also did? He also asked for assistance. He stated the problem that he had, he asked for permission, and he also asked for assistance. What a bold thing to do. That's so bold, right? Because I'm sure a lot of us, we have problems, and most of us don't go to our supervisor and say, boss, I got this problem and whatnot, right? I want to take some time off. We will say we want to take some time off, but we don't say the problem that we have and the resources we could possibly get from work, you know? So I think this was really bold, right? So the wheels started turning. Nehemiah knew what God said and acted on it. Some of us would term it as Nehemiah had a vision from God of what to do. But all he was studying is that the Jews were coming back to Jerusalem, and God said he would restore them if they obeyed him. And so the idea was already in Nehemiah's mind that this is a problem for his people. A problem. But God did give his word, and Nehemiah was the man for the job. So in essence, he knew what was right, and so he did it. And I know that some of you, possibly majority of you, listening to this broadcast right now, can relate to Nehemiah. You know, sometimes there's a problem, and we ask other persons if they see the problem, and they don't. But for some reason, the problem keeps coming back to us, and keeps coming back to us, you know? And what I've learned is that if that problem keeps coming back to you, then that problem is for you to solve. Yeah? Alright. So let's keep going. Point number 3. He knew there was a problem, but he still went to examine it before stating his intent. You know, sometimes we hear of a problem from the outside. You know, we on the outside looking in and we hear of the problem. Then we get elected, or, you know, we get into leadership and decide to go in all hot and sweaty, you know, and try to fix this problem without first understanding the extent or the root of the problem. All right. And I raise my hand. Sometimes I do so as well, you know. But let's take a page out of Nehemiah's book. Let's first assess and analyze the problem and then act. And, you know, this causes a fallout, you know, because there's usually someone that was trying to deal with it, or, you know, there is someone trying to, you know, work with the problem. And when we take a hot and sweaty approach, then we can mash some corns and, you know, get some people upset with us when we come in that kind of way. Alright, but we can get to that a little bit later in terms of relationships. Alright, so point 4. The problem was shared amongst the people. Let me look at Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 17. The problem was shared amongst the people, and they had a common problem. But so was the vision. So the problem was shown, but so was the vision. Alright, and we look at chapter 2 verse 18. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burnt with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. Well, I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me, and what the king has said to me. Whoa, this is powerful. And later we see that because of this, because the vision was shared, the people worked with all their heart. When last have you worked at something with all your heart? You know, when last? And what a better task than to work at something that God has called you to do with all your heart. Yes. Point number 5. There were significant times of trouble. There were significant times of trouble in this rebuilding process. There were insults, there were threats, there were schemes. And on top of all of that, the strength of the laborers was given up. Multiple things were happening simultaneously. Being weary, insults, threats, schemes, and high levels of debt, which in some instances resulted in slavery. Do these things sound familiar, even in this time? So the people are trying to do something good, but there's opposition. You know, there's opposition. All right. Point number six. However, there was relief even before the war was finished. All right. Relief was happening during this time, during the rebuilding process, the construction. There was praying. There were prayers against the enemy and prayers for strength. There was relief from usury or unfair issues facing the people, such as the financial bondage, the stress that they would have been getting from the nobles and, you know, people in higher society. So the laborers, basically, in a nutshell, they had to borrow money to pay taxes. They had to pay, you know, the crown, so on and so forth, you know. And these things were heavy on them because it was a famine as well. And they had no food. So basically, they had to mortgage their land and their houses and their fields for food. So it was a tough time as well. Also, in this time of relief, there were encouragement and declarations to remember who God is and that He is fighting for them. These were staples in this time. So we had some relief. We had a lot of prayer, right? Remember, even before Nehemiah went, he prayed to God. He prayed before speaking to the king for asking for the time off, right? When they had opposition, they prayed against the enemies, you know? They prayed for success and they prayed for strength when the opposition returned. And Nehemiah also encouraged the Jews, but he also speaking the word of God back to them, you know? That's important, reminding them that God is fighting for them. Remembering that God is mighty above all other gods and that He's fighting for them. So important, right? And I want you guys to also know that God is fighting for you. You know when you're doing right and when you're pursuing righteousness. And when you get out of opposition, just remember that He is there with you. And point number seven, there need to be people of integrity who fear God that we can rely on. So Nehemiah is one man, sent by God, and that made him mighty. But he was not always able to be present at everything, and therefore he had to rely on people with integrity and who feared the Lord. It's so important to have the both of them, right? Because we need to have people that we can entrust things to. We need to have confidence, you know, people that we can rely on. And in these times, like when we are pursuing righteousness, and you know, most of the time we go in alone, but when you can find a brother that buys into the vision and is working for the same cause, it helps a lot. And when he can be a man of his word or a woman of their word, that's such a great thing to have as the body of Christ. So in this rebuilding exercise, just to recap these 7 points quickly. One, there was a problem. All right. Two, Nehemiah felt the need to do something about it, and he did. He acted in faith. Three, he examined the problem to ensure that he understood what the problem was. All right. Four, he shared the vision to rectify this problem. Five, there will be troubles when you are trying to do the work of God. Right? When God is using you to do His work, there will be some trouble. But rest assured, and as I heard today, we are victors and not victims. He has already told us what will happen. So we just need to press in, you know, dig deep and push through. And we don't fight like everybody else. Right? We fight with prayer and fasting and a strong belief in the God that we serve. I believe that's point five. Point six, we need to encourage each other. We need to pray for each other. You know, we need to be our brothers keep on a nutshell, right? So don't like somehow the nobles were doing to the people, even though that they were the same. They were basically giving them high interest rates on the money that they borrowed to pay the taxes and not to buy food, right? That's what they term as usury, and they call it unfair, right? So they rectified that problem as well, and they encouraged each other with, you know, the decorations and the truths that God would have given them, right? Point number seven, we need people of integrity as we are going through, persons that we can rely on and, you know, who are true to their word. Yeah, so that's just the 7 points in a nutshell, right? So in conclusion, when I was preparing for this broadcast, I thought about including a definition of what rebuild or rebuilding is, and I chose not to, right? Because I think that we all know what that looks like. But I would say this, rebuilding can come in the form of rebuilding relationships. Let me say that again. Rebuilding can come in the form of rebuilding relationships. Yeah? Rebuilding with your brothers and sisters in your family. Rebuilding with our spiritual brothers and sisters. And also rebuilding in our church and home communities. We are not just Christians on a Sunday, but we are Christians every single waking minute, every single day of our lives. And therefore, we would like to let our light shine in every sphere and space that we are in. And I want us to think about this seriously because this is so important. Our mission as believers is to go and make disciples of all nations. Our mission is not to build lovely churches and get comfortable in them. Our mission is to build a church, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus has commanded. We don't do that to walls and halls. We do this for other human beings, just like how it was done for you and for me. And in this COVID time, or coming to the end of it, right, persons need to know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the hope that he gives once we are living for him, right? This is so important. And one way that I believe that we can do that and share the message of Jesus Christ is through by rebuilding relationships with our communities. So important. Yeah. So most of us see the problem, or in this case, the command. So my question to you is, what are you going to do about it? Will you build the church here on earth, or will you be bowled down by inability and inactivity? Thank you. Father in heaven, we give you thanks, oh God. We give you thanks for your word, and we give you thanks for allowing us to be able to go through this experience of Nehemiah's. Lord, we thank you for the keys and tips he was able to give us. And Lord, we ask that you give us the strength and the wherewithal to use them to your highest honor and glory. Lord, strengthen us and help us to be obedient as we pursue righteousness. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen. On Christ alone, our chief cornerstone, no other foundation can we build upon. Not philosophy, nor the wisdom of man, all around is sinking sand. Upon this rock you will build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail.
Praise of the